time for Conversations with MIT Medical, care for the community. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Peer Ears are MIT students who are interested in emphasizing mental health resources on campus and who are supporters in their communities. My guest today is Dr. Daniel Debowie. He's a staff psychiatrist at MIT Medical. Welcome to the show, Dr. Debowie. What is Peer Ears?
So it's a peer support group. It's run by the undergraduates with two of us on the mental health staff serving as liaisons. And sort of trainers. The undergrads in dorms and now some of the frats and sororities volunteer to join the group, and they undergo a training with us in which we talk to them about elements of active listening and ways of defining empathy and coping skills, and a very short primer as to how to recognize the signs of things like anxiety and depression. And then they go out into their communities, and each dorm's peer ears group decides to do this differently. They might have study breaks or question and answer sessions to introduce themselves to their neighbors. And then many of them decide to have certain almost quote-unquote office hours each week where their neighbors can stop by and chat to them about what's on their minds. And when we train the peer ears and as we meet with them over time, we keep emphasizing to them different resources on campus that are part of the MIT support network so that when they hear a student's problem might be best addressed over at medical or over at the academic deans at S-Cubed, they'll know to suggest it and even offer to go over with the other student if it helps lower the barrier to them. So that's peer ears in a nutshell.
So how does this residential program differ from some of the other mental health resources on campus?
Well, you know, first and foremost, it's really students helping students. So even though Dr. Sejal Patel and I are liaisons from the mental health service, we don't go and help them present their workshops to their peers in the dorms and frats and sororities. The students who join peers know that they can come to us if they have a question, if they feel like they're in a really tricky situation. But it's really students helping students. And a lot of the other resources on campus, even those that involve students, often have invited guests from medical or from mental health to come over and help with that work.
So what are some of the topics that peer ears have discussed at their trainings and meetings with you? What kind of things are we talking about that people are looking for these resources for?
Well, you know, some peer ears are familiar with therapy through friends and family or even themselves. Some of them may even be familiar with medication-based treatments. But some of them are just motivated, empathic students who want to join and help. So, you know, part of what we review with them, part of the questions that we answer with them when we do trainings, is to really help demystify and explain, you know, what is it that we do over here at mental health? You know, the first lesson that we teach them is basically in terms of counseling, we do everything A to Z. We see students maybe just for a single session to, you know, help them vent after a really upsetting event that's happened to them academically or personally. And we also see students all the way from the beginning of freshman year to the end of senior year. So getting them to understand for themselves and also for the students that they talk to that if they do end up referring their neighbors over here, that their neighbors aren't signing up necessarily to see us forever is a really important lesson. And we keep emphasizing that, that we're both a counseling and a mental health service. We also end up talking to them about, you know, what are the various kinds of treatments that somebody might receive when they go to see a psychologist or a social worker or a psychiatrist. And as I said before, we talk to them, you know, not in fine detail, but just as a, you know, general guide work. You know, what does somebody who is really beginning to develop symptoms of an anxiety disorder look like? How might they behave? How might their behavior change? So that they're alerted to that, so that they, you know maybe even to ask questions after a closer neighbor who, you know, after being very gregarious and involved, suddenly disappears off the map for the better part of a week.
Can a student make an appointment for help through peer ears?
Not per se, but the peer ears are aware of the different routes by which a student can make an appointment. So we review with them the fact that students can fill out an online form, which goes to our triage team, that they can call up the front desk. We talk to them about how our walk-in hours work over here at Mental Health. And, you know, over the couple of years that the Peer Ears program has been here, there have been a handful of occasions where Peer Ears have walked neighbors and friends over during the walk-in hours.
Now, you mentioned earlier that if there's limits, if somebody doesn't necessarily want to go get help on their own, that the Peer Ears might even walk them over. What do you tell people that might ask about privacy with this type of residential initiative?
So we let the peer ears know that, you know, they should, you know, tell their friends that, you know, their discussions are confidential, but we let them know how confidentiality is defined here on the mental health service and in mental health in general, that if they're hearing anything from their friends that makes them concerned for the friend's safety or for the safety of their floor, of their general, you know, community of neighbors, that would be a situation in which they would, you know, alert us or the house staff, the GRT, the area director, the head of house immediately. And we let them know that that's basically the same kind of frame that we work with here, with the students that we see as patients. And, you know, sometimes peer ears have further questions about it. They might give us a specific scenario that, like, operates somewhere on the line of that. But they're generally accepting of it. And, you know, they're actually reassured to have a definition to work with.
So how does mandatory reporting work for students and educators?
So for I think it would be too long for the purposes of this interview to talk about it for educators. But for the peer ears themselves, they are not obligated mandatory reporters the way that the law defines. They are considered to, for example, be sufficiently confidential that they don't have to go to the Title IX office in situations where, you know, an administrator or a professor might be obligated to do so. And we actually looked into that when we were putting together the program, and there were some questions about that kind of scenario. You know, what we let the peer ears know about a safety situation is not that they're mandated reporters, but that this is an advisable exception to confidentiality because, you know, they want to make sure that their neighbors are both healthy and well-supported and safe.
So in the last few minutes here, Doctor, just wrap it up for us with peer ears and what you really want the listeners to know about this working support network with residents.
Well, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that every time we look for new peer ears to apply and join the program, we seem to have a larger and larger cohort of applicants. I'm actually going to be meeting with a potential new peer ear later on today to interview them. You know, if this is the first time that a student or one of the residential community staff is hearing about this, you know, they should spread the word. They should encourage further students to come our way. Probably our eventual goal is to be large enough that we're going to need more than two liaisons for the program. We're getting close to being able to reach all of the dorms, and I'm going to be quite pleased when we get to the point where we really have coverage of all of the living communities, because we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, both from the peer ears themselves about belonging to the program, being able to help their friends and neighbors. But we've also now been in operation long enough that when we see students as patients here, sometimes we're hearing that the first time they really thought about coming to see us was when they talked to one of their neighbors who was a peer ear. So that's really made this worthwhile to help get this started as a project.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And for more information on Peer Ears at MIT, you can go to mitpeerears.org. That's mitpeerears.org. You're listening to Conversations with MIT Medical, and for more information, you can go to medical.mit.edu. That's medical.mit.edu. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.